Hi, everyone. I'm Diana, and I'm sitting here with former police officer Sean Shapiro and managing partner of Diamond & Diamond Lawyers, Sandra Ziskind. And today we're discussing the tragedy of drunk driving and driving under the influence. It's summertime. There's a lot of parties that are happening, a lot of long weekends. Like, it's almost like every other month there's a long weekend, it feels like. And, you know, a big thing that we talk about here at Diamond & Diamond is the issue of drunk driving. We recently saw a horrific, horrific accident in the GTA. Yet again, we have a situation in which multiple family members were killed in this car accident. So I'm just curious, like, at this point, we have MAD, we have programs, I'm assuming, to prevent drunk driving and all that. What do you feel could we do better as a society to just stop this from happening? I mean, in this case, it was like it was in cases in the past. It's always like a young individual that creates this car accident.
It's not always. First off, we have to say it's not an accident. There were decisions made, and bad ones at that, that led to someone getting behind the wheel of a motor vehicle while under the influence of drugs or alcohol. And that's the start. We have to not allow it to be called an accident because it wasn't by mistake. It wasn't really an oopsie-do. We need to be harder on them in court. We need them to go to jail. We need them to have really hardcore consequences and not have it pled down to a careless driving. Even if it doesn't result in something where there's no fatality involved, mm-hmm. we have to be more serious. But it's one of those charges that takes up a lot of court time because everyone litigates it. $30,000 to $45,000 on average, and your lawyer goes and makes arguments on your behalf, and you might get out of it. In fact,
if you can afford a lawyer to defend you in that case,
100%.
Is that a criminal charge then?
So drunk driving is a criminal charge, but if they plead it down to careless, like Sean was saying, then it becomes a Highway Traffic Act, and it's not criminal anymore.
Okay.
In some provinces, they're not even laying the criminal. They're just dealing with it by way of a careless driving charge at roadside, which is mind-blowing to me. This is such a serious offense.
I can't believe that, because if you cause a fatality to happen, especially in the case that we've seen in the last, since 2015, I think it was the last big one that we had, where children have passed away as a result of the accident, maybe there's something that can be done in terms of making it a criminal charge, period, full stop, and there's no pleading down. There's no option.
It's always been historically, and Sean can speak to this better than I can, historically it's been always difficult, A, to get a criminal driving conviction. Most criminal lawyers make their bread and butter from the DUIs. Like, right. from any of the drunk driving, that's where they make their money. They charge the most amount of money, and then they nitpick at the tests, at the roadside tests, at all of these sort of things and get it thrown out. And it's usually... it's usually more affluent people that are getting these charges. Am I wrong?
Everyone gets them, but you're right. The people who spend the time and can afford to pay a toxicologist to come to court and dispute and spend 3-4 days, that's big money. And there's some ringers, some really high ticket lawyers that have a great success rate, and they play a game.
That's the court problem then.
I think you're
sitting in front of a judge, and the judge is like, yeah, all right, I'll drop this down to a careless. Meanwhile, look at the carnage that was caused.
It's a problem. Go ahead, Sean.
I was going to say, if there's carnage, if there's a life lost, it's very unlikely it's going to be a careless driving charge. We're talking about the ones where nothing happens. They just happen to get caught because they're all over the road or they're asleep in an intersection. Those are often being dealt down, and that's inappropriate. It should be as serious as if what could have happened, because it shouldn't be the result of your criminal activity mm-hmm. that determines what happens in court. It should be the fact that you did something that was criminal.
Right, because the idea is you want deterrence, right? So you want to nick them before it ends up, God forbid, in somebody dying or something like that. So you want some sort of deterrence. So you want to charge them, have something stick that means something, so they don't end up killing, God forbid, a family right. and dealing with the whole situation.
But then you have people who are on their first offense, and while they're awaiting court, they have a 90-day suspension, or they have they've been disqualified from driving for a period of time if they've been convicted, right. and they're still driving, and they get caught multiple times. They have a problem, and they're not getting appropriate treatment, or they just don't care.
And then they just get those little blowy things in their car.
Interlock devices, which are somewhat pricey to maintain. And it's after they'd have to deal with a portion of their court disqualification, and then they'd be eligible to apply. And then you find stories where people are like giving the box to the kid beside them, or taking someone for a drive and allowing them to.
Can you blow in this?
Yeah.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. You see videos online where they've got a hair dryer and they're trying to beat the system. And there's people who manage to do it, and the technology keeps getting better, and it works. But you can't drive any other car but the one that you have the interlock in.
Right.
So I've seized cars from people where the guy took his Mercedes in for an oil change, and he had a loaner for the day.
Yeah.
He was driving and he wasn't allowed to be, and he lost the car for 7 days, I think. From a policing perspective, we want this to be considered a serious offense. And because so many, you go back 50, 75 years, this was just what you did on a weekend. You drank and went home, and the judges were doing it as much as anybody else.
With no seatbelt.
Correct.
It's something that has taken a long time for people to sort of get their heads around the concept that it's not okay.
Right.
And getting that changed and then continuing through to actually hold people accountable. I mean, how many people consider speed an issue? Not many.
Yeah. Right.
So it's one of those things. And when you're capping or categorizing speed and impaired driving as the same thing, and who cares? It's only a big deal if something happens.
Right.
We have a problem.
How important is it for you as an officer to show up at court that day and say, no, this was a criminal act. Do not reduce it to a careless.
Well, those things
happen.
I know
it doesn't help you, Sandra. I'm so sorry, but I feel very strongly about this.
No. In the greater good, it's more important. It's more important for sure.
Police officers have to show up all the time. But those kind of deals are happening with Crown approval, which are happening at bigger levels before court happens. Right? So that's before you head up for trial. It's not one of those last minute things. And it has to have approvals for that kind of change to happen. But at the end of the day, police have to show up for their court. Otherwise, we have problems.
They do, right? It's this one in a driving
case. Yeah, if you don't have a witness to stand up and testify, it's going to be a problem. I don't think they'd be able to go forward. There would have to be an official excusal. They'd have to try and reorganize the date. In minor traffic, when you have a speeding ticket and the officer doesn't show up, they toss it. A criminal case like this, if you couldn't make it, they would make efforts to change it.
Interesting. And I'm curious, Sandra, when the insurance companies, because you know when they say, oh, like you got a seatbelt charge, oh, you got a speeding ticket, and then they review your license and they see, oh, okay, let me raise your insurance now because you're like a bad driver, you have all these infractions or whatever. Does the insurance company not see that it was a drunk and then it turned to a careless?
So I don't, Sean, you can answer that better than I can.
So they see the conviction. They don't see the case prep. As a police officer, if I pull you over, I could run your background and look at everything that happened even before you were licensed. So whereas insurance companies see the current 3 years, I would be able to see it like when you were 15 and borrowed your mom's car and got a speeding ticket. They would generate a number, and that number and that record would still be there permanently.
Dinah, is there something you want to confess confess right now.
But your whole life.
I'm much younger now, but I'm saying back then, so you're saying back to when I first got my license, you can see all that?
Everything. Every single thing you've ever done as a police officer, as a ministry access person.
Diana, would you like to confess?
Sean, can you help me get erased in some kind of way?
I don't have that kind of hookup.
Nice try, Di.
Goodness gracious. I did not know that. Well, I think that you guys have done a great job, obviously, as a police officer, and Sandra, as a personal injury lawyer, for sure. And everyone, the long weekends are coming. Do not under any circumstances put yourself in a position or put anyone else in a position of danger or anything like that on the roads. It's just not worth it. I don't know how many times we have to repeat, drunk driving is bad. Just don't do it. Correct. Stay home, take a ride share, a cab, or sleep over at a friend's house.
There's so many options.
It's so many options. So enough is enough. We don't want to see that anymore at all, both on a policing level and on a personal injury level.
Correct.
It's drive safe, drive sober, get to where you're going each and every time.
Yeah.
And it gets blurry because people don't make good decisions when they're under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Mm-hmm. So make a plan beforehand.
Always make a plan before. That's a good tip, actually. Make a plan beforehand.